is now in talk mode.
Dr. Alexander Scott, this is Kim Kalunian. I understand that the antibody tests are being validated right now. So can you just explain how the state is already rolling out these 5,000 random antibody tests when the validation process is still underway?
There are many of these tests that we are doing both simultaneously. There are many PCR tests that are also being validated. So we would be using the ones that have completed their validation process, and so that's finishing within the next few days, and we would only be referencing the ones with the limited few that have achieved that. And then we are applying our own understanding, our own version of validation, not the technical one, but by doing the test so that we can learn better how COVID-19 impacts populations and how we interpret these results. So this is part of that process, and that's why it's important to share with the public that we're still very early on in the antibody testing realm.
And when do you expect people to start getting these letters then?
What?
The letters.
The letters are going out this week.
Okay, thank you.
This is Michael Billett from Motif. What is the source of the pool from which you're doing the random letter selection? And what do you anticipate the yield being? How many people getting the letters do you think will respond positively?
We've done census block groups and allowed for a totally randomized process selecting from each of those census tracts. So anyone who receives anything has had that happen through the randomized selection, and it will be interesting to learn what the yield will be. We know it's totally voluntary. This is something that I've expressed that we are learning as we go. It gives people the opportunity to participate in that process, and we will see how the yield is. We hope that it is a high.
Well, so when you say randomized by census tracts, though, do you mean that it's randomized within census tracts, or in other words, does somebody in Providence have an equal chance of getting a letter than somebody in West Greenwich?
Yes.
Okay.
But what is the pool of addresses and names? What's the pot that you're picking the names out of?
What information we have through the census tract data.
Will children be included?
Tax information, or sorry, did you...
Voters? What did you ask? Will children be included?
Yes, so what we are doing is saying the household is who we can assess and who can participate. So a family is able to come and the parents can make the determination about the children in helping to that information as well.
Thank you.
Governor, this is Michelle from AP. The Providence Journal reported that you told them that in March the federal government was supposed to deliver supplies from the Strategic National Stockpile, but the truck came and it was empty. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you can explain a little further, whose truck was it, and why did they send a truck if there were no supplies on it?
That was my question. I cannot recall. That was in the very beginning of this, when we were primarily trying to get our PPE, through the national stockpile, and I was referencing how the federal government's response, they were behind from the get-go, they were behind from the beginning, and the story, and Nicole's with me, she can remember too, we had spent all day on the phone with the CDC and everyone we could find in Washington. Finally, they said the truck would arrive at 9:00 at night. I can't remember. I think it was a Saturday night. And it did arrive, except the problem is it arrived empty. There was no gear in it. And I was using that as an illustration of how rough this was in the beginning when the federal government was just not organized, to say the least.
And did you or Director Scott ever get an explanation of, like, why would a truck come if it didn't have anything in it, and what were you told about it?
Yeah, they told us it was a mix-up. They were sorry. I think the vice president called me the next day, said they would try to do better. It was pretty chaotic.
Thank you.
The governor, the question arose yesterday about the president announcing a wind down of the coronavirus task force at the federal level. And the New York Times this morning is reporting that he's reconsidered that and may not wind down the coronavirus task force. Do you have any reaction to that?
I think it would be good if he didn't. You know, Ted asked me this yesterday, and upon reflection, I should have been more concise. You know, my primary goal is to make sure that Rhode Island has access to the national leaders who are helping us fight this fight. Public health officials, Director Gaynor, you know, Secretary Mnuchin. We need to continue to be able to rely on them to do our jobs. So that's my goal. Whether he wants to do that through a task force or another mechanism is, of course, his prerogative. If taking the task force down is a signal that the president feels we're out of the woods, this isn't necessary, and they can pull up the drawbridge from the states, that's a terrible signal, because we are just emerging, and we still need them to be our supportive partner.
Governor, I have a question about your executive order, page 2, number 2, that says people are required to wear a mask, but at the very end of it, it says, nothing in this shall require a store or any other place of business to refuse entry to a customer not wearing a face covering. What should someone do that runs a store if someone comes in and they don't have a covering on?
So they could politely ask them to go back in their car and get their face mask. They could suggest to them to look at the sign that every store should have up and show them that per the governor's executive order, they should have a face mask. But we decided it would be too heavy-handed and problematic to, allow store owners to kick people out. And, you know, we want to try to do this peacefully, and we didn't want to encourage any opportunity for aggression or fighting.
But they shouldn't call the police or anything?
No.
Okay. And, Governor, what's your thought on Mayor Alorza saying that people should be shamed if you see someone not wearing a face covering, they should be shamed? Because it says right in your executive order, and Dr. Scott has touched on this, and Dr. McDonald, that there are several adults that for different reasons, you don't know why they're not wearing one. Some people have health problems. And so, you know, that I got the message that you shouldn't judge, that maybe there's someone that for different reasons, they can't wear a mask. What's your thought on Mayor Moore's encouraging public shaming?
You know, I guess his intent is a good intent, right? We want to encourage it. It's in everybody's interest for everybody to wear a mask. Our approach is a little different. Like, this is a time to be kind to fellow Rhode Islanders, to be supportive of fellow Rhode Islanders. So I don't think it's shaming. Maybe it's a polite nudge, or frankly, offer them, hey, you need help getting a mask? Or just lead by example. So we want to encourage kindness, unification. But it really is true. We are all in this together. I know that's a cliche thing to say. In this one, it's absolutely true. If you don't follow the rules, like, it's going to hurt you because your business is going to be closed again. So anyway, I think shaming is probably not the right way to go. I think it's more of a nudging and support and, above all, understanding and kindness.
And one quick follow-up, just back to this executive order, maybe a retailer that instead of refusing, if they had extras, they could offer the person, like, hey, did you forget a mask?
Great idea.
Do you want to have a mask?
That's a great idea.
is it next?
We're on a municipal level. This is Elizabeth McNamara from East Greenwich News. Will the state be issuing guidance on cleaning for schools and municipal buildings, public buildings, so that each town, city and town isn't hiring a company to help them develop a plan? This just came up in East Greenwich yesterday at the school committee meeting, which is why I'm asking.
We are going to be issuing guidance. We're going to be issuing guidance. Now, they're going to have to figure out how to meet the guidance, and they are each going to have to figure out the best way to do that in their circumstances within their budgets, but we are going to issue guidance for sure.
Governor, I had a question from a health worker, a nurse, who said, you know, a lot of them, they're having their hours getting cut because of the financial situation, and that they were told they could file for unemployment, but then they still make too much money. Any advice for some of these healthcare workers who may have had hours and wages cut but not enough to file for UI?
If they're not eligible, they're not eligible. I can't change those federal rules. But, look, I hope next week hospitals are getting back into business again. That's a big focus of phase one. Right now, hospitals are hurting. They're not doing diagnostic tests. They're not doing any imaging. They're not doing non-critical surgeries or any real procedures. So hopefully, starting next week, they will all be getting back into that, and that'll help a lot with the problem you're talking about. It's what I don't know if you heard me say today, pretty high percentage of people who are collecting unemployment are in the healthcare industry. So when we sat down to try to figure out what phase one, we said, okay, well, how can we get the most people back to work and be safe? Healthcare and retail have been hard hit, so we said, okay, let's start there.
Thanks.
Eli, did you have a question?
Real quick, and I may have misunderstood you while you were talking earlier, Governor, but did you mention a scenario in which people would be tested when coming to work in the future, or is that some type of screening that maybe you were talking about?
Yes, we're going to require screening. If you have the virus, if you're sick. So we don't want anyone going to work sick. So now we're going to let employers figure out how to do that. I know a lot of large employers are going to buy a lot of thermometers and do temperature screening. Anyone who has an elevated fever can't go to work. Others will, like here in the state, we have a system where you have to check in with someone and they ask you, are you sick, you have a fever, da da da, aches and pains. But everyone's going to have to be screened to make sure no one goes to work sick.
It wouldn't be like a testing every day sort of scenario.
No, definitely not.
Governor, any further thoughts on Block Island? I'm looking at some municipal agendas, town council meetings, and there's a few, I guess, Washington County exclusively, agendas that are planning to issue licenses for events this summer. I mean, what's your message to these municipalities? I mean, should they go ahead and plan on having events with 100, 250 people and issuing licenses and get that aligned with that type of thought process?
It's a huge risk that they're going to have to cancel the events. So, you know, A week ago, 10 days ago, I made an announcement about very large summer events, Newport Folk Festival, Jazz Festival, huge parades. It's 100% clear those will not be able to happen, you know, thousands of people. I suppose it's conceivable that by the time we get to August, you could safely have a 100-person event, but it's a very definite risk that you will not be able to. And if they want to take that risk, then obviously they're free to do that. We've got a minute left.
My veterans columnist asked me to ask, what are Memorial Day observances going to look like in Rhode Island?
Well, we're certainly going to find a way to honor lives lost of our veterans. And we'll get creative. We have, as far as I'm concerned, we have a fantastic veterans director in Kasim Yarn, and he will get creative. and we will find ways to have events that are solemn and appropriate and honorable, but where we are all 6 feet apart and wearing our masks.
All right, thank you, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow.